This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 5th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll continue that discussion with University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. Our regular cash grain analyst, Bruce Bostard of Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, is not available today. We will, however, hear a commentary from the Illinois Farm Bureau on the Beginning Farmers and Ranchers Act. It all happens in this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finish the day like this. Futures in the wheat pit may contract at 361 and a quarter, up 9 cents today. July futures were at 372 and a quarter. They were up 9 3/4. May wheat in Kansas City, which is what the soft red runner wheat in Chicago followed higher at 449 today, were up 14 cents. In the corn pit from Chicago, the nearby May contract at 230 and 3/4, up 1. July contract, $2.40 and a half, up 1 1/4. And September's at 251 and a half, were up 1 1/2 for the day. December contract at 264. It finished a penny and a half higher as well. May soybeans, 594 and a half, were up 3 3/4. July futures at 606 and a half, up 2 3/4 for the day. And the August contract at $6.12. They finished 3 higher on the day. November beans, 625 and a quarter for the new crop harvest month, up 3 for the day. May bean meal, 177.30, 70 cents higher. May bean oil at 25.15, up 21. Feeder cattle at 99.80, down $1.25. And the July, or rather June contract in the live cattle at 73.85. We're down 35 cents for the day. Lean hogs finished the May contract at $67.40. They were up $1.05 for the afternoon. Outside markets now, crude oil at $70.15 a barrel, up 21. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,572, up 133 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start in Kansas City with that 14-cent jump in the nearby May contract. All about abandonment in Oklahoma or something else?
Well, that, you know, certainly when you get a newswire report saying that the Oklahoma crop could be the lowest in 50 years, that puts a lot of emphasis on the Oklahoma crop. But we also had quite a bit of detailed report and analysis from, you know, two different independent agencies, and one being Informa in terms of the hard red winter wheat crop being at 690 million bushels. If true, that would be down around 26% versus last year, and that'd be the lowest since 2002 when we came in at 620 million. So you look at that and you can see the Kansas City clearly led, because the same Informa numbers for soft red were at 358 million. That's up about 50 versus last year, 40, 15%, you know, roughly. So we've got that continued issue of the July KC, especially because it's a smaller pit and a more volatile pit. It was, and because of the weather and the supply and demand fundamentals versus Chicago, it continues to lead this market.
Would you be a willing seller of soft red winter wheat at this time, or are you going to wait for the hard red winter wheat to climb a bit higher and see if Chicago will follow more?
There's quite a few things going on next week that makes us cautious about selling anymore. Now, clearly, if we had nothing sold at this point, we would certainly be looking at doing some hedge to arrives, at least to two-thirds. I mean, I think that's a fair number to go after. A half to two-thirds sold at this stage is a good thing to do, because we are going to, after all, start combining in a few months. But we've got Monday's crop progress report. We've got Wednesday when the Federal Reserve talks, and everybody's expecting a quarter point or 25 basis point increase there. And then Friday we've got the USDA report, where they're going to give us updated fundamental numbers, both 05, 06, and they'll also give us 06, 07 numbers that are going to be fresh. So we wouldn't mind selling into a continued rally. In other words, if July wheat in Chicago could take out this 378 level, that today's high, and go on up towards its next high of 382, the April 11th high, that'd be a place where we'd really start doing catch-up selling.
How about in the corn pit for the day?
Well, I talked to Chicago probably, about an hour before the close, and it was an interesting day because it didn't meet our expectations. We'll be very blunt about that. We really thought that with what was going on in the wheat, what was going on with the very weak dollar, again, another 7-8 month low and a continued new contract low in June dollar index, and you know, with the horsepower we had, you know, with the funds being so long, the potential was there. The beans being fairly strong this week, the potential was there for the funds to really run this thing hard and see what they could do with it. But when we talked to Chicago, they said it was great volume right after the open, very volatile trade, but then it really got drained about a half an hour, 40 minutes into trade. Everything kind of set back, and then since mid-morning, it was very quiet in the corn pit. So pretty interesting day today as a whole.
And it made for an interesting week if you look at the weekly numbers. Corn off 7.5 in the May. December contract down 7.75 for the week from last Friday's trade.
It does. And, you know, we talked on Commodity Week last week about how strong this market could be because of these outside forces that were in the market at the time. And certainly the crude oil, it was interesting to see the crude oil for the week down, I think, 2.3 or 2.4%. East corn down 2.8%. And so it almost seemed like the corn didn't find any friendliness off the wheat, didn't find any friendliness off the beans. They were more focused upon the issue of the crude oil for the week. And similarly, when we talked last Friday during the daily commentary in the afternoon, we talked about, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we talked about the bean oil, the sugar, and the corn. That seemed to hold true. Them following more the energy complex and the crude oil and the unleaded gasoline markets this week than they did anything else.
Yeah, and if you take a look at the December contract, a high today of 267.5, are you a willing seller at some point of more crop, new crop, when it pops above, what, 270, 272, or at current levels?
We'll go into a neutral bias if we go through the 20-day moving average at 269, and neutral means if we have bought puts and short calls, unlimited risk short calls, we'll buy some of those calls back and play defense on the game at that point, because we do not want to close above the 20-day moving average. That puts us probably very likely to go into the 275, you know, resistance point and maybe even take that out. So we're going to be neutral at 269, close above. We'll turn friendly the corn if we break above 275 on a closing basis. Why is that? Well, because some of these outside factors, we're betting that it's not going to be Midwestern weather and Corn Belt weather that pushes corn up to new highs and breaks through 275. It's probably going to be renewed interest in gold and crude, and you get a winding up again, kind of what you saw in the financial market today, in the Dow Jones especially.
That's pretty interesting. So you're having to watch the metals and the outside markets probably more heavily for the commodities than you have for quite some time, I would think.
That's a heck of a good point. We've made it very clear to most of our clients we've talked to and in our newsletter, in the recent copy we put on the Internet, we really do and are more worried about $100 barrel oil and $750 an ounce gold than we are a Corn Belt drought this year, because of what is starting to play out here as far as, you know, we talked about maybe we'll get that top-end market put in the middle of the year and then start to go down. Well, that's working itself out. It's starting to show that they are indeed wanting to wind this thing up as we get into the middle of the year. So we want to be very respectful of corn if we make new highs.
It goes to the old adage that you can't look out your own back door and see what the crop looks like. And apparently now you can't even look across the nation to see what the corn crop looks like. You have to look to New York.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, beans for a good example. We talked to Dow Jones Newswires yesterday afternoon for some commentary, and we got to talking, and we ended up talking probably 20 minutes. And what's going on up there, based upon, you know, our contact up there, is that they are talking about a lot of stuff in beans. And I went in and did a study on the Brazilian real against the U.S. dollar. We're dealing with a five-year high right now in the real against the dollar. And I think it finally just hit us. Maybe that is why these beans won't break, along with the commercials being long and along with some of these cycle guys saying the low is in until midsummer. But it could very well be that some of these bigger traders, and like you say, New York, they're looking at the exchange rates, and especially in the beans and how it relates to the Brazil and their crop. How big is it? Are they going to get it out with these roadblocks? You know, some of these currency issues, and when you see the real at a five-year high against the dollar, certainly we think that has something to do with keeping support in beans right now.
Have you been able, did you go in at the same time and figure what it costs to ship a bushel from Brazil to Europort in Europe? As compared to shipping it down the Illinois and Mississippi rivers? Apparently not. But if that's the case and you've got a five-year high, surely it would be cheaper to import from the U.S. than it would be from Brazil at this
time.
That's
right, and you can do a pretty easy mathematical calculation right now on the euro. It's running a 1 to 1.5 year high against the dollar, and so you know that what you're getting in Rotterdam, if you're buying in U.S. dollars, is at 1.5 year, at the lowest price and the cheapest price, in 1.5 years without even factoring in what the Brazilian crop price is.
Anything else to add before we let you go?
That'll do it. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Thanks much. And that is Mike Zuzulo joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Friday afternoons. I mentioned Europort. He mentioned Rotterdam. They're both in the same place. I happen to have been to Europort, and that just happened to be in my mind. That's ADM's port in Rotterdam.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. His name is Steve Hilberg. Mike Sola from here at WILL forecast for tonight across the two-state region calls for partly to mostly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 36 in northern Indiana to 48 in the far south. Tomorrow, Mike says, in the far south, mostly cloudy. A few showers, perhaps an isolated thunderstorm or two. Elsewhere, to be partly sunny. Highs from 58 near Lake Michigan to 70 in the far southern parts of Indiana. In today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus says the Beginning Farmers and Ranchers Act is a step in the right direction.
Young farmers today literally have a world of opportunity before them. Like never before, producers are tapped into the global market through agricultural exports. They are on the cutting edge of improving the environment, medicine, and nutrition through the use of biotechnology. Importantly, farmers have a seat at the table during congressional deliberations as well as world trade negotiations. It's certainly no longer our grandparents' type of agriculture. But included in agriculture's many rewards are also challenges. With farm real estate and buildings valued on average at $2,341 per acre in Shelby County, that's a lot of money in land and building costs just to compete, not to mention be profitable in today's landscape. While these costs can be quite overwhelming for a young producer wanting to expand the family farm, the enormity of these costs may crush the dream of a young person wishing to enter the farming business. Legislation in Congress would help younger farmers and would-be producers meet these obstacles head-on. The Beginning Farmers and Ranchers Act of 2005 eliminates capital gains taxes when agricultural land is sold to a beginning farmer or rancher. The bill would help beginning farmers acquire land they need to get started and expanding farmers the ground they need to keep their businesses growing and prosperous. Today's average farmer is 55 years old. As farms are sold in anticipation of retirement, selling prices reflect the cost of capital gains taxes. This makes farmland more expensive for beginning and expanding producers and can even push land out of agriculture when non-agriculture buyers are able to pay more. The capital gains taxes that producers pay are high because farming is land intensive with assets typically held for a long period of time. And high capital gain taxes make it more difficult to transfer farmland between agricultural producers. It is crucial to find an avenue to attract younger people to agriculture, especially those who don't already have a way in. The Beginning Farmers and Ranchers Act is a step in the right direction. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Corn futures in Chicago have tapped 275 three times in the last month in the December contract.
Is that a good place to market corn, and what are the risks? Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois, joins us now to tell us about the markets.
Well, first of all, the price level does tell us that there is a fair amount of optimism about demand for corn during the year ahead. And that's being, I think, really emphasized because farmers indicated that they're going to plant fewer corn acres. So if we do really have strong demand, fewer acres means a much tighter supply demand next year. So the market is building that in very quickly. And perhaps what we're looking at is if we do end up with a few more acres and anything close to a trend yield, I think the odds favor lower prices by harvest time than what we're looking at right now. So that's a long way to say that producers probably should have some new crop sales on. And from what we're hearing, I think farmers have been a little more aggressive this year than most in getting some corn forward priced. I think that's probably the right thing to do. What percent certainly is an important question, but I think in terms of a non-trivial amount of the corn being priced at this point, we can have additional spikes during the growing season, and we do have an outside chance always of yields falling below trend and perhaps significantly below trend. We've seen that happen in previous years. So there's always risk in forward pricing that prices may end up being higher than what we anticipate right now, but given the rapid start to planting and the good weather forecast we're looking at, I think there's some good opportunities in new crop sales right now.
Farmers have, over recent years, become not dependent but to depend upon LDP, counter-cyclical payments, crop insurance payments, in fact. Do you think that given a normal growing season at this time that those sorts of things might still be in play this fall, or has the season and demand set it up differently this year?
Well, that's an important question, and I guess I would see it at this point as possibly different than what we experienced, particularly last year, where producers did a fair amount of forward pricing and then ended up collecting a large LDP, and it looks like close to a maximum counter-cyclical payment on the 05 crop. Running the numbers for the 06-07 marketing year, penciling in reduced acreage, a substantial increase in use, suggest to me that we'll be looking at a price averaging somewhere $225 to $230 on next year's marketing year. That's getting awfully close to where we would not have a counter-cyclical payment on the 06 crop. So I wouldn't be counting on that at this point. It also suggests that we may not have loan deficiency payments on the 06 crop either. And if we do, perhaps they will be small and only in a small window of time at harvest time. So I would not be counting big time on LDPs or counter-cyclical payments for the 06 crop. Clearly, we'll get the direct payments, depending on insurance product, and with the high spring prices that have locked in, there may be some small insurance payments on some of the revenue products. So probably not as lucrative as what we had in 04 and perhaps in 05, but I wouldn't be surprised that there are some payments.
It's a conundrum for producers at that point as they look at 260 DEIS futures, because at this point they can say, well, if things don't go so well for the growing season, there's a great deal of potential to the upside. On the other hand, if they go okay, there's not so much to the downside. So the question they're faced with is, well, is 260 enough at this point for me? Because I'm not maybe going to get the rest of the LDP and those sorts and counter-cyclical payments.
Right. So in my scenario, what you would really see is probably about a 30-cent downside risk on corn prices for a marketing year average compared to what the market is offering right now. So you say, do I want to take that 30-cent downside risk on all of the crop? What percentage of the crop do I want to go ahead and take today's value on? And I think that's really where the judgment is and where individual producers will make different decisions. But we have to kind of play the odds in terms of what's the most likely outcome. And right now you'd have to say, based on everything we know, the most likely outcome is prices somewhat lower than what the market is offering right now.
From corn, turn your attention to the soybean market, which seems to be set up differently than the corn, although nobody really knows exactly why that's the case.
Well, soybeans have been a bit of a mystery, as we've talked about all year long, and perhaps longer than that, maybe for the last 2 years. If you just woke up one morning and looked at the supply-demand balance sheet for soybeans and then looked at the market price, I think most people would be astonished that prices are as high as they are, given the surplus that's reflected in the balance sheets. Can we continue to get the speculative buying to support soybean prices, or will we see another large crop and tremendous fundamental pressure on prices going into harvest time? Again, just doing the most likely scenario, that is acreage somewhat less than March intentions, yield somewhat less than the record yield of 2005, a significant increase in consumption next year, pencil that in, you still get a marketing year average price based on your balance sheet of maybe 520 to 525 soybeans. You look at where the futures market is today, November beans 620, 625, and a carry in the market from there forward. The market is offering a price over $6 for next year's crop. And again, if you said what's the most likely balance sheet and what's that imply for prices, you would be 75, 80 cents lower than what the market is offering right now. So again, $6 is not an exceptionally high price for soybeans, but it may be an opportunity to get some of the new crop priced at what seems to be a pretty good value.
And one other note, and we'll go to the wheat crop on this one, because they've had such a tough time this year in the Great Plains states. Kansas wheat crop, I think, is 37% as of a week ago, in very poor-to-poor condition. Oklahoma said to be maybe abandoning 45% of its crop. Texas and Oklahoma, 70% or thereabouts, in poor-to-very-poor conditions because of drought. But it may offer an opportunity for the soft red winter wheat growers and higher prices as they head into July harvest time.
I think that's right. It looks like the soft red winter wheat crop is going to be a nice size this year. We never know until we get it in the bin, but the crop condition ratings would suggest that the soft wheat crop is in very good condition. So that puts producers in a more comfortable position, saying, I'm not quite as worried about my own crop, so I can take advantage of forward pricing wheat based on the problems other people are having with their crops. And so I think, and we've been kind of pushing this for several months now, with July futures have backed off from their highs at Chicago, but still offer some awfully good prices for the 06 crop, and importantly, offer even significantly higher prices for the 07 and the 08 crops. And I think more than normal, we've got producers looking beyond 06, saying 07 crop is even 60 cents higher than the 06, maybe doing some forward pricing there as well. I think one thing that the dynamics of the wheat market as we move into the summertime is whether these high wheat prices are going to stimulate any further increase in spring wheat plantings. The March intentions report indicated a substantial cut, particularly in durum wheat, but in all spring wheat. Will these lofty prices change some people's minds about maybe planting a little more spring wheat? There's a lot to unfold yet in the wheat market, but it's probably playing into the hands of the soft wheat producer this year.
Darrell, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Todd.
Darrell Good, a member of the Farm Doc team here at the University of Illinois. You can visit the website at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. I'm Todd Gleason. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. Your local newscast is next.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank. serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Evelyn Ezell, who was dismissed from George Ryan's jury, says she spoke with federal judge Rebecca Palmeier by phone for about 10 minutes today and told her the truth about what went on in the jury room. The conversation was part of Palmeier's efforts to determine if there was misconduct during deliberations at the former governor's corruption trial. The Illinois Supreme Court has denied a request for a rehearing in a verdict against tobacco manufacturer Philip Morris USA. The court today didn't comment on why it refused to reconsider the case. Democratic Party officials are making another attempt to overturn Indiana's voter identification law. They say many people were turned away from the polls during this week's Indiana primary because they didn't have the proper photo ID. They're asking a federal appeals court to review the law. Illinois officials say a three-day disaster drill showed them that the state can keep people safe from widespread emergencies. State agencies tested their emergency response system with a mock flu pandemic as well as a fake terrorist attack. Homeland Security Director Jill Morgenthaler says the drill showed officials would have saved lives in a real emergency, but that they need more trained staff to maintain their efforts for more than just a few days. Residents won't be moving in for a few more weeks, but you can get a look at the new Champaign County Nursing Home at its grand opening tomorrow afternoon. The new building is located south of the current nursing home on Art Bartell Drive. Administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says the new Champaign County Nursing Home has beds for an additional 30 residents. Tomorrow's grand opening ceremony begins at noon, followed by an open house for the public. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the rainfall didn't quite make it throughout the Midwest like we expected it to over this past week. What happened to those little runs that were supposed to come in and drop more rainfall on us?
Well, mostly stayed to the west. We've been in a pattern where we're getting these what we call closed lows. Lows get cut off from the main upper air flow, and they just sort of drift, and that's what happened last weekend. It drifted north through Missouri, Iowa, up into Minnesota, and the heaviest rain actually fell out in some of the hardest hit drought areas of Missouri and in western Illinois. So while there was some pretty good general rains across Illinois and even parts of Indiana last week, not nearly as much as we had initially thought from the way the forecast was working out, but it was beneficial, and if you look at now the drought monitor, there's pretty much not any drought left in Illinois to speak of, and we're seeing it get knocked back on its heels in Missouri and even back through some of the plain states where they've been very hard hit.
A little closer to home, if you look at east central Illinois and western Indiana, how will we fare for the weekend?
It looks like a nice weekend. Looks like we'll be dry. Any more planting needs to be finished up. It probably can get it wrapped up here in the next few days. Another weather system will come through here Tuesday and Wednesday. That'll bring some showers and thunderstorms to Illinois and Indiana beginning probably Tuesday afternoon. And then after that, it looks like the rest of the week will probably be dry. It does look like we're in a cooler, possibly wetter pattern here for the month of May. But at least we're not looking for any extremely warm or hot weather at this point. And it looks like the rainfall chances will be spaced out at least so that things can get finished up in the fields.
A similar forecast across the Midwest, or are there parts that will be out of the field because of rainfall?
I would say the only area that might be is the extreme southern portions of the Midwest, southern Missouri, maybe into the southern tip of Illinois. Lower Ohio and Tennessee valleys might have some problems with the weather systems that will be tracking through there. A lot of precip could fall down there in the next 3 to 5 days. But most of the main corn and soybean belt should be in good shape.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons, or rather Friday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to join us again tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week, when our guest will be Don Rose of U.S. Commodities out of Iowa. I'm Todd Gleason.